Great. Thanks very much, Jess. Thank you for reading the scriptures. Should we just pray before we reflect on them? Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Father, that your words are living words. We thank you, Father, that they divide us, that they penetrate us, that they change and transform us. And we pray, Father, that as we hear these, that you might work a change in us, that we would be people who come to you to ask, to seek, to knock, that you would increase our faith, our trust, our love for you, and that we would receive the good things that you have in store as you've promised. So please help us, Father, now as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, yeah, so we are looking this afternoon at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 6 to 12. If you've got it in front of you, that will be very helpful for you. I have to look behind for the PowerPoint. Yeah, up there, that's fantastic. Okay, just going to begin by a very simple question, a gentle way in for you on your table, nothing too profound. What was your favourite game as a child? So perhaps not your favourite game now, but when you were, say, 5, 6, 7 years old, maybe the age of my daughter Hannah, what was your favourite thing to play? Just a minute to discuss that with the people on your table. But it's another very popular children's game, and it's one I noticed that whenever my daughter and her cousins come, they always want to play this game together. And it is, can you guess from the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? It's hide and seek, that's right, yeah. Hide and seek. Now, it's interesting. That is the game that the Pevensies are playing when they enter into the land of Narnia. They're playing a game of hide and seek. And I'm going to ask a question to you this morning. Are you hiding or are you seeking? I hope we're seeking. I'm thinking about what does this mean spiritually, to be hiding or to be seeking from this passage in Matthew chapter 7. It's a quick quiz question for you. When was the first hide and seek? When was the first hide and seek? Adam, yes, very good. Excellent. Yeah, we're going far back in time now. We're going back to the very beginning and to the garden. Adam and Eve, the first people to hide. They were trying to hide. Who from? From God. It says this, Genesis 3, verses 8 to 9, 8 to 10 rather. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So the first people to hide were Adam and Eve. Why did they do this? Why were they hiding? I mean, it's fruitless, isn't it, to try and hide from God. But why did it occur to them to try and hide? They weren't playing a game. For them, it was very serious. They'd suddenly become aware of good and evil. They become aware of their own guilt before God. They were ashamed. They were afraid. And so they tried to hide themselves, to isolate themselves, to keep away from God. And that's the state that we are living in today. As a result of the fall, we begin life hiding from God. We begin life alienated, separated, distant from him, under God's judgment. We are separated from God. We are all born hiders. Now, let's turn to this passage. That was to set a bit of context for this. These verses, reading from verse 6 up to verse 12, all seem to be a bit linked by a concept around the idea of giving and receiving. And we begin in verse 6. It says this, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn to tear you to pieces." So here's some advice on giving. Don't wrap up, don't give a nice present to a pack of dogs or to some pigs, because they don't appreciate them. They're not going to be grateful. You won't get a thank you card in the post. Don't waste what is valuable on those who don't want it. That's where we begin. We might think, oh, okay, that's quite stark, isn't it? That's quite strong. How does that connect to this passage and about hiding, seeking, asking and knocking? Well, in a way, aren't we all like that, actually? No. in a respect, we are all a bit like dogs, a bit like pigs. We don't necessarily value the spiritual as much as we should. So Jesus is saying, I think what those verses mean is, don't give what is sacred to those who don't appreciate it. You don't feel that you have to oblige to keep going with them, right? Don't waste the valuable, don't waste the sacred, don't throw your pearls to pigs. But then we might feel, ouch, okay, well, what about me then? If I feel a bit like a dog or a pig, does that mean there's nothing for me here? We feel like Adam and Eve, God is holy, God is sacred, I better hide away, give up all hope. Well, the verses that then follow on from this, the verses that give us that hope, and we have three amazingly gracious promises. If you look down to verse 7 to 8, Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Isn't that incredible? Maybe we've heard those verses before. Maybe this is the first time that you've read them. What an incredible thing to say. Ask and you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. What assurance. What a promise. Isn't that incredible? How gracious can that be? Let's break these things down and think a bit more about each of them. Ask and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Who asks? Who is an asker? What have you asked for recently? Let's think about this. We thought about childhood games earlier. If you kind of gauge it, roughly speaking, do you ask for more now you're older than you used to when you were small? Probably not, no. Generally, children are the ones who ask for things, don't they? In fact, sometimes they always ask for things all the time because children don't have much, do they? So they need to continually ask. Children are always asking because children don't have much. But who do they ask? Do they ask a stranger in the street for their lunch? They come to you as their parents, their grandparents. They ask you for something because they know that you love them. A person who asks is someone who knows that they are loved like a child. They know they can ask, but they know the person loves them and will give them possibly what they are actually asking for. So what about seeking? Jesus says, seek and you will find. The one who seeks finds. Who are the ones who seek? Who goes out to seek? I guess we seek when we are actually looking for something, when we know that we have lost something, when we know that something is absent from our life, something is missing. Jesus tells the parable in a different context, but of the good shepherd. And when he loses a sheep, he goes out to seek it. He goes out to find it. When you're seeking, it's not accidental stumbling. This is not sort of just casual tourism, that you are looking for something intentionally. You are seeking after something. The one who seeks is someone who knows that they have lost something, something important, something valuable, like that good shepherd. But what about knocking? What does it mean to knock? Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened to you. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who is the one who then knocks? Why would you be knocking? You maybe come to knock on a door when you don't have a home. You need to go in. You need to find some shelter. You want to be with the person who lives there in the house. You knock when you know that you are lost, in a sense of not having a home, not having a shelter, not having a place. The person who is like that is someone who knows that they are lost and they want to knock to get in. Okay, so with all that in mind, with these incredible promises that Jesus says about if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, why is it then that sometimes we don't actually come to God asking, seeking, and knocking when he's given such a strong assurance? Why is that? Why would it be? Well, this question I'd like to ask on your table is a little bit more profound, a bit more thinking here. How do you know that you are loved? If you think about maybe your family, maybe your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your parents, how do you know that you are actually love. Just turn to the people on your table and we'll spend a few minutes thinking about this. If we think about all these things, there's a lot here, I guess, to do with receiving things, whether it's physical things, gifts, or intangible things like time or words or care or attention. Something is maybe something that we can't even quite put into words, actually. But it's something that indicates to us we're loved. And then there is our actions as well, yeah, whether that's sacrifice or something else, something we do that basically expresses that we're preferring somebody else over ourselves, or that we are demonstrating our compassion, our deep love for that other person. So if we think about this question then, why is it we don't ask, seek or knock? Jesus goes on to explain and uses this analogy. He says this in verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, I ask you, if you're a parent and your child has actually asked you for bread, have you actually ever given them a stone? Or a fish? Did you give them a snake? I mean, maybe as a pet, but not to eat. It's not particularly good parenting. And so Jesus says, look, even in this world, right, you know that parents are loving because they look after their children, even though we are, compared to God, we are evil. So don't you think then that our loving Heavenly Father, the ultimate Father, is going to give good gifts to us, that He is gracious, that He is generous, that He is loving, and He is kind? It comes down to, ultimately, the goodness of the Father. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We thought about, how do we know that we're loved by somebody? We can know that we are deeply loved by God. God is giving us good gifts. So what are these good gifts? And what is this goodness of the Father? I want to go just quickly back to a bit where we began in the Garden of Eden again. Why was it that Adam and Eve actually turned away from God and rebelled in the first place? What was it that they suddenly didn't believe about God anymore? What was Satan's tactic? What was the lie? It was perhaps that God was not good. That he said, actually, God is keeping something good from you. If you understand good and evil, you'll have this knowledge that God has. It's just he doesn't want to share it with you. He's not really good. Right? He wants to keep the good from you. And so because they fell for that lie, because they doubted that God was good, they disobeyed God, and all the calamity that has come into the world flows from that. So if we don't believe that we're loved, if we don't believe in the goodness of God, our Father, then we won't ask him, we won't seek him, we won't knock. Or similarly, if we don't actually know that we've lost something valuable, if we don't realize there's anything to seek at all, if we don't actually care about it, then yeah, we won't seek. And if we don't think we're lost, if we think actually we're already home, if we're nice and comfortable, we have everything that we need, then we're not actually going to knock because we don't want to come in at all. So why is it, though, that we still do hide from God? Why are we often like Adam and Eve when they try to go and hide in the trees, aim impossibly from God? What things keep us distant from him? Well, maybe sometimes it's a sense of our own failures and our shortcomings. No, I think everybody will have things that we feel bad about, we feel guilty about. And because of that, we realize that God is holy. And we know we can't come before him on our own terms. And so because of our failures and shortcomings, we feel the better thing to do is to hide. We'll go and hide in the cupboard. We'll hide under the covers. We'll stay away from him. Or maybe sometimes it's because we just don't think that actually we're going to get that warm welcome from him. We don't believe he's going to be hospitable. We don't think that he is good and gracious. We don't think he is a loving father. Because maybe we feel we haven't received things, or we've gone through difficult things in life. Maybe it's unemployment or illness or loss, or maybe unfulfilled hopes, the marriage, the family, the job, the life that we thought we'd have. And we think, why have I not got these things? Is God good? What is he saying about asking, seeking, and knocking? I mean, what does it mean when he says, ask and you will receive? Does this mean that we'll get anything that we want? You know, if I ask God for a mansion, am I going to get a massive house? You know, it probably doesn't mean that. What does this mean? What does that mean for God to give good gifts to us, relying on the goodness of God? I think we're helped a little bit here if we look at a parallel passage, which is in Luke's gospel. This is how Luke puts this same saying of Jesus. I put them side by side, Matthew 7:11 and Luke 11:13. Luke puts it this way: if you then, know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So instead of good gifts, he says the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, which I think really helps clarify this. There's a lovely little line here saying from Augustine, Saint Augustine. He says this: the good thing that makes men good is God. He's commenting on this verse. Gold and silver are good things, not as making you good, but as with them you may do good. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, basically, if you ask God for gold and silver, if you ask him to make you rich, gold and silver themselves are not good. They cannot be good. You can use them for good, but they're not good. It's the same for anything, a relationship, a job, whatever it is you might be asking for. In itself, it is not good, but it can be used for good. Ultimately, the ultimate good is God himself. He is good. He makes things good. Or as C.S. Lewis said, God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. So what is that good thing? What is that, particularly in context here in the kingdom that Matthew's talking about, what is the good thing that we most need from God? Well, it's actually himself. The greatest gift God can give us is the gift of himself and the gift of his Holy Spirit. God wants to give us his Holy Spirit. He wants his own life. It's not just like a force, an impersonal force. It's not just something sent from God. It is God himself. God himself to live in us, to live in you. This is his greatest gift. This is the ultimate good thing that God can give to himself. And it's actually this gift of himself that ultimately puts everything in context and in which everything then finds meaning and makes sense. Because actually it's something that the Bible explains that begins in this life. You know, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit what? A deposit. When do you make a deposit? If you're, say, buying a house, you put down your 10%. The Spirit is given now as a deposit. It's a foretaste of what is to come. It's a foretaste of the resurrection life, of eternal life. And it's when we put it into that context that everything then makes sense. Another saying from C.S. Lewis, heaven, or we could also say the new creation, once attained, will work backwards and turn even agony into glory. So whatever disappointment we might feel now, whatever pain we might have, and we might feel, is God really good? That actually, in the context of God's plan, the way that he is working everything out in his gospel, that eventually everything will make sense. And you will absolutely see his total goodness. But for now, we want to receive, we need to receive these good things. We need to receive good things from God, which is ultimately God himself. This little section then I think finishes. It's interesting in verse 12. It says this: so in everything, seems to be linking it together, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I think there's again this sense of giving. reciprocation. Do to others what you want them to do to you. And this is how God is himself, is it not? God is gracious. God is loving. He is generous. This is the way of the kingdom, the transformative way of the kingdom. Because God is gracious and generous, he is a good father, so we should also learn to be gracious and generous too. That we should reflect the very heart of God. So what is this contrast then? Coming back to this concept of hiding and seeking. What were Adam and Eve like when they were trying to hide from God? What can we be like if we are seeking God, if we are asking, seeking, knocking? This contrast, this way of the kingdom. Well, what goes with hiding? What goes with hiding are things like shame and guilt, anger, judgment, because we know that we're under judgment, self-reliance, pride. Whereas conversely, the things that come with the kingdom are things like freedom. When we're seeking God, we are free. We can be relieved. We can be compassionate to others. We can be forgiving, reliant on God alone. And we are humble like a child who comes to God because we know that we need him. So the question is, to finish today, is then for you, are you a hider or are you a seeker? What side of this are you on? Do you ask, seek, and knock? Do you know that you're loved by God? Do you know what you're missing without him, perhaps, this afternoon? Do you know that without Christ that you're lost? You need to knock to come into the home. What I'm going to do, just to help us with this, is I'd like you, I had to quickly do this, I realize I've forgotten to do it. I'm going to give everyone a piece of paper, if I can, on the table. And you don't have to do this, it's not compulsory at all. But I'd like you just to write down on this piece of paper where you feel you are at the moment. How would you describe your relationship with God? Do you feel distant from him? Do you feel close to him? I'll give you some of those just to give out. Thanks. Is there more? Could you pass those down, perhaps? Thanks. Is there more that you feel you want to learn, much further to go? This is can be anonymous. I'm not asking you to put your name on it at all. Sorry. Hopefully I got, I think just about enough. You got, need more? Okay. And, if you've got a pen, you might need some pens. So thank you. Thanks very much. Should have asked that before. So how would you describe your relationship with God at the moment? Try and be honest and sincere. Okay? This is anonymous. And then what we're going to do, I'd like you just to fold it up, and then I'll collect it, and then I'm going to redistribute them. Hopefully you won't get your own one back. What I'd like you to do, please, is to pray for the person whose slip you have, right? So whatever they write on that slip, you don't know who they are, it doesn't matter, the Lord knows. I'd like you to pray for them this week, perhaps every day if you can, to pray for whatever it is that they've written on there, that they might say grow in their relationship with God, that they might come to believe in Christ, or they might find the peace and joy that they've been seeking. So just take a minute just to do that. Sorry, a bit late. If you've finished, I'll just take him up. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Commit to play for someone. That would be fantastic. I'm just going to quickly maybe just pray, and then I think we'll have the final song. Let's just pray together, shall we? Dear Father, we do thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you that you are a loving Father, and we thank you for this incredible promise that we can ask, that we can seek, and that we can knock, and that when we do, that we will receive, that we will find, and that you will open the door to us. We thank you that that is your great grace. And we just pray, Father, for each and every person here, that we might receive perhaps a fresh understanding of that grace, a fresh appreciation of it again. And we pray, Father, that you please help us to Perhaps to pray for whatever people have written on these sheets, that you will please help us this week to remember to pray, and that you might hear these prayers through Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen.